Well, good morning, you guys. Happy Sunday again. We're going to be picking up kind of in an in-between mode. Kirk's been doing an awesome job in our series called Powerful People. And I've been really thankful that he kind of launched into this series. And so he kind of left us on a cliffhanger last week. And so I asked him if he still wanted me to preach, and he said, yeah, go for it. And so here I am today. But I didn't want to change course, okay, with where he was going in his sermon. And so I'm going to kind of pick up kind of an in-between mode. And so my sermon today is called The Minefield, and it's a thought that I've been thinking for probably a long time now, actually, and it's just this idea of sowing integrity in my thoughts or in my thought patterns. And so we uncovered in our Ephesians series during COVID just the, you know, you can try to change somebody's behaviors, right? And you can try to change the way that you speak, but that doesn't actually happen unless you start by changing the way that you think. And so part of the kind of the nugget that I think he's really been teasing at in our Powerful People series is how you think matters, okay? And just really, if I'm not reaching my potential in Christ, if I'm not operating at the level of Christianity that I want to be operating at, chances are it has less to do with what's going on around me and everything to do with what's going on within me, kind of thing. And so that's kind of where we're going to be picking up today. And so just a quick review, Kirk's been talking about powerful people, and something that he's been hitting at for a couple weeks now is this idea, he's been hitting at a victim mindset and how we get stuck being a victim between our ears, right? In this little realm right up here, we get stuck being a victim there. And it's this idea that we're called to be powerful people, but oftentimes it seems like we're choosing to be powerless people, okay? Notice the key verb application there, we're choosing to be powerless people. And we're not reaching our potential, see the word potent, when you're not reaching your potential, you're not at capacity, you're not as powerful as you should be, kind of thing. And it's this idea. And this is what I really want to tease out today is we have this tendency to be our own worst enemy, okay? We'd love to blame somebody else. We'd love to blame the devil especially. But remember, the devil is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. In fact, he knows very little, okay? Because he's an angel. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the angels know less about what's going on than what we know of what's going on sometimes, okay? If you don't agree with that, read your Bible. Okay? And so anyway, I'm sorry, I threw that out there. Woofta. But it's true. Okay? And so anyway, and so he's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. And so you'd love to think that he's picking on you in your basement, wherever you live. And he can't. He's got bigger fish to fry oftentimes. Okay? And most of the times he's running scared from God and hiding. Okay? And so the reality is that honestly, when it comes to looking for blame, I'm going to steal a quote from Teddy Roosevelt, the blame buck stops here, okay? You don't have to look any further than the tip of your nose when you're trying to find who's to blame for the mess that you're in, okay? And so it's this idea, I promise I'm going to be encouraging today, though, I promise. This doesn't sound good out of the gates, oh my goodness, oh, okay, all right. Five-year-olds, okay, we got to be entertaining. Okay, here we go. Got it. Do I have any candy that I can give out to just bring you back in, right? Okay, all right, so it's, but it's this idea, we want you to be powerful people here. We do, because God wants you to be powerful people. If he didn't want you to be powerful people, he wouldn't have given you his Holy Spirit. Okay, so he wants you to be powerful people, and so what we're trying to get across in this, and at least what I'm going to try to do today, is just it has a lot to do with what and how we are thinking, all right? And so a little bit of definitions to help you with going forward today. We're going to talk about integrity. Well, what is integrity, Stephen? Well, it's having alignment between your thoughts, your words, and your actions, okay? But if you want to change how you act, if you want to change how you speak, you got to change how you think, okay? That's a key thing here, all right? And so integrity is having alignment, okay, between all of those things where they're always the same. And you might be sitting here going, well, I don't really struggle with integrity, right? And integrity is just not lying, right? Integrity is just, you know, paying how much, don't steal, right? That's integrity. Yes, that is integrity, but that's not where integrity stops, okay? So do you remember Jeff Foxworthy? Okay, you might be a redneck if, okay? That whole thing, I don't have any redneck jokes for you today, by the way, okay? And so mostly because I'm worried some of them would come across as being too personal and you might take offense, and I don't want that to happen today, okay? Because chances are most of us here, if you're here, chances are you've probably got some redneck in you a little bit, and that's okay, all right? But you might struggle with integrity if what you experience changes other people's experience of you. Okay? So what do you mean by that, Stephen? Well, do you treat people differently based on the time of day? Do you treat people differently based on whether you've had your coffee or not? Do you treat people differently based on whether you're under pressure or not? Do you treat people differently based on whether you're sick or broke or tired or not? Okay? If you do, I would argue that integrity is an issue in your life. Okay? And I know this is heavy stuff, but I promise I'm going somewhere with this. All right? So having an alignment. All right? Where does this come from, this word integrity? Well, it comes from Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity, okay, walks securely, or his path is made sure, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Now, that word there, that Hebrew word is tome. It means completeness, wholeness. It means peace, where everything is as it should be, okay? This completeness, this idea of wholeness, okay? Other definition that we're going to hit at today is anxiety. And Kirk and I had uncovered this. Oh, my goodness. When we first were in COVID back in March, do you remember those days, Kirk? And we were talking about being people of peace and presence. Yes, definitely. P cubed, right? And he uncovered this nugget about how anxiety is this idea of having a divided mind. Okay, I promise I'm going somewhere with this, right? Okay, so where does that come from? Well, it comes from the parable of the soils found in Matthew. And Jesus is explaining the parable to his disciples, and he says this: the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the anxieties of this life, deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, making it unfruitful. And that word anxieties comes from the Greek word merimna, which is a variation of the Greek word meritzo, that means to divide in fractions or divide into parts. And so there's what I'm trying to hit at is if you want to be effective, if you want to be productive in your walk with Christ, there has to be an end to this dividedness that takes place up here, okay? Where one day I'm peaceful, Stephen, but then the next day I'm stressed out, Stephen. And you don't know who you're going to get when you call me on the phone. That can't be. That can't be. And so it comes down to me walking in integrity, all right? And so the idea of this whole sermon comes, believe it or not, from Leviticus 19. And it's this tiny little verse, this obscure little verse, and it's in a passage all about God's laying out. I think it's in verse 2 of Leviticus 19. He says something like, "Be holy because I am holy." And then he starts laying out these instructions of holiness. He talks about loving your neighbor, okay, as yourself. And then he throws this nugget in here. Don't plant your field with two kinds of seed, right? And if you were just blasting through Leviticus 19, you'd read that and be like, well, that's weird, right? Move on, right? Must have been some agricultural thing back in those days, right? Well, let's pick at that a little bit. Why might it be bad? Okay, I'm not a farmer, okay, by trade here. Why is it bad to sow two different kinds of seed in the same field? Help me out with that a little bit. They might choke each other out, okay? So I'm thinking about going into farming, right? Curtis, okay, I got a planner. It's an 8-row planner. It's a box planner, okay? But to save on time, because I want to plant corn and soybeans, but here's my bright idea. I'm going to fill the first box with corn, the next box with soybeans, the third box with wheat, and then repeat corn, soybeans, wheat, and then corn and wheat at the end, right? How effective is that field going to be when I start to plant it? There's problems, right? There's problems. There is problems with sowing two kinds of seed in the same field. And we get into this habit. What are you trying to hit at, Stephen? We got to get out of this habit of sowing two different kinds of thought patterns in our mind. Why? Because it's ineffective. It is ineffective. I can't plant corn and wheat and corn and wheat and corn and wheat because corn matures way differently than wheat does. And so when my wheat is ready to be harvested, my corn's not going to be harvested. And if I wait till my corn is ready to be harvested to harvest the wheat, chances are I'm not going to have any value from my wheat because all the seed is dropped out, okay? And it's this idea of trying to have integrity. And what I felt really Holy Spirit was speaking is this idea of getting rid of opposing thought patterns in our mind. Like, have you ever been hopeful for something but been doubtful about it at the same time? Yeah. Have you ever tried to be loving towards somebody that you have feelings of hatred towards at the same time? Ugh, right? Right? Have you ever been spiritually thinking because, you know, you're in church, but then you're carnally thinking about what you're going to be eating after church, right? Like having two different thought patterns going on in our mind. Have you ever prepared for or prayed? Maybe you've done this. Have you ever prayed for one outcome, but sneakily prepared for the opposite outcome, right? And it's this idea of trying to sow integrity. Why does this matter, though? Okay? Anybody here drive a skid loader? Skid loaders. Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. Do you have a lever action skid loader? Handles, handles, handles. All right, Stanley, I saw you raise your hand, right? Okay. So imagine this. All right, I got that skid loader, right? I want to go that direction. So I push this lever forward, but I pull this lever back. What's going to happen? Going in circles. And that's what opposing thought patterns do in our mind. They're like skid loader, where I'm trying to go this way with this lever, and I'm trying to believe this way, but you know what? I better prepare for this direction instead. And I sit and I spin, and I spin and I spin, and I look up at God like, God, what's going on? Have you forgotten about me? Like, why do I feel like I'm not gaining any traction in my life? And God is like, yeah. Yeah, I wonder. I wonder why you're not gaining any traction in your life, Stephen, right? I just got a little dizzy there for a second, okay? But it's this idea. It's like, and it creates dizziness and the distractions and the worries and the anxieties and the frustrations and the fears and the doubts and everything. It's causing distractions and I'm getting dizzy because I know I want to go this direction, but my feelings are pulling me this direction. I know God's word says this direction, but my experiences are making me want to go in this direction. And I sit and I spin and I spin and I spin. And so it's getting rid of opposing thought patterns. So I'm going to try to hit a key concept or at least two today. The reason why our thoughts and actions aren't aligned is because our thoughts need to first be aligned. I've got to get to a point of integrity in my thoughts where my thought patterns are aligned with each other. And then I'm going to start to see change in the good way. I'm going to start to see change in the way I speak, but I'm also going to see change in the way that I act by getting my thoughts aligned. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's an expression out there that says behavior follows belief. Behavior follows belief. What does that mean? It means who you believe you are is who you are going to portray to others. I have a little boy in my classroom right now, and he struggles. Man, he struggles. But all his life, he's been told that he is wild and crazy. So guess how he acts in my classroom? Wild and crazy. Wild and crazy, Colton. You got it, man. You don't even have to come into my classroom to know that. And so what I've been doing each day secretly, not so secretly, as I go up to that little boy and I go like this and I just put my hand on his chest and I say, I know people tell you you're crazy, but you're not crazy. And I'm just trying to break off those lies, right? Because his behavior is following his belief. He's been told he's crazy. He's been told he's wild. Somebody who you tell, if you tell somebody that they're no good and they're not going to amount to anything, don't be surprised when you get what you expect, right? And so who you believe you are is who you are going to portray. And we got to make sure that we get alignment in how we believe and what we believe of ourselves. You are a child of God. You are a servant of the Most High King. You are holy because he made you holy. You bear the righteousness and the image of a holy living God. And so who you believe you are is who you will portray. But if you don't feel like you're carrying the image of God, chances are you're following a wrong thought pattern in your life. Okay? We tend to do this. This slide might change your life today. Okay? So you can forget the rest that I say. All right? I give you permission. This slide might change your life today. Because we tend to base our beliefs on two faulty equations. Faulty equations. We believe that experience is equal to truth. Because you experience it, somehow it is true. Because you feel it, somehow it's true. False. False. Experience does not equal truth. And sometimes we'll believe it to the point where actually experience is greater than truth. Because I felt it, because of this experience, it must be true. In fact, I know the Bible says that. I know the Bible says that I'm a son and daughter of the Most High King. That's not really my experience. And so, sorry, Bible, but my experience outweighs your truth. Right? And we gotta get rid of these equations. We gotta get rid of these equations in our minds and in our lives. Okay? Think about it like this. Have you ever really had a great experience at a restaurant and then you invite somebody else to come to that same restaurant and their experience is far different than yours? Right? Like where their experience, and suddenly now because they had this bad experience, their experience actually outweighs your truth of believing that that restaurant is good, right? Right? And we do that. We do that with our life. That's kind of a poor analogy. But what is true then, Stephen, right? Truth is truth. Only truth is equal to truth. Only truth is equal to truth. And truth is stronger than experience 7 days of the week. Okay? And that's where we got to be living our life from, because otherwise I start to think, well, God, you say this, but my experience is this, and I sit and I spin and I spin and I spin. And I got to get integrity in my thoughts where this is truth, that's my experience, but I'm powering through it towards truth. And now I can go full speed ahead. Okay? There's an important verse. Paul writes about it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He writes it like this. He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And I underline that for a reason. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What are you trying to say here, Stephen, right? I'm trying to say this. We need to keep tabs on our thoughts and our imaginations by following Jesus's pattern of thinking, okay? Trisha reminded me of this quote. It's a Steve Backlund quote. He says this, God gives us permission to be hopeless about anything he's feeling hopeless about. Okay, now if you're doing the math in your head, you're thinking, what is God hopeless about? Nothing, okay? Bill Dorgerton, he's a guy that I like to listen to, another speaker. He says, if Jesus isn't anxious, right? Jesus isn't anxious about anything. I don't know if you know this or not. If Jesus isn't anxious, then what does he know that I need to know? Okay? If he isn't anxious, what does he know that I need to know? I've got to get into modeling or following the model of Jesus's pattern of thinking, and I've got to do it by keeping tabs on my thoughts, but I've also got to keep tabs on my imaginations, because we can let our imaginations run wild from time to time. I don't know if you know that or not, okay? Where we'll keep tabs on our thoughts that we intentionally think, but we'll just kind of excuse that weird thought because, well, that was just an imagination, right? And what Paul is challenging us in 2 Corinthians is you got to keep tabs on both. You got to make sure that you're not thinking thoughts Jesus doesn't think, and you got to make sure you're not imagining outcomes that Jesus doesn't have planned for you, okay? And so it's getting alignment in our way of thinking, okay? God wants to redeem how we think, and he wants to redeem what we imagine. But here's where we got to be careful. You can't just focus. Paul's got good words there, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 through 5. That's a great challenge, right? But we can't just focus on eliminating bad thoughts, okay? Trisha and I, we dressed up one time as police officers back in Sunday school. Now, I would tell you it was just a couple years ago, but Elliot remembered it when he was little doing it in Sunday school, and he's a big kid now. So a long time ago, we dressed up as police officers because we were teaching on this verse from 2 Corinthians, and so we were pretending to be the thought police. Okay? And so we were talking about how you need to take those thoughts captive, right? The reality is, though, that's not sustainable, okay? Where you're just constantly on the lookout for eliminating bad thoughts, okay? We need to get to a point where we replace those bad thoughts with something, okay? Let me explain it like this. There's an interesting passage in Luke 11 where Jesus is talking about casting out demons. And he says, you cast out a demon, and that demon goes looking through arid places for trying to find rest, right? But then he circles back to the house that he was cast out from. And he finds the house. Do you remember how he finds it? Cleaned out. The word in Greek is actually empty or vacant. Okay? So it's in a lot of translations it will say swept clean, cleaned out, but it's more accurate to say vacant. Vacant. And so what does he do? Oh, this looks like a good place. I think I'll take up residence here again. You know, in fact, this feels like a place that I was once in, right? What is Jesus trying to teach through that passage? You've got to get rid of the bad thing, but don't just get rid of the bad thing. You got to replace it. You got to replace it. You got to fill the void. Fill the void with good things, okay? And so Paul is telling us in 2 Corinthians 10 here, take those thoughts captive, but that's only part of the process. That's only half of the process, because that's going to lead me to concept number two today is, so our minds were created for strongholds, but not for the enemy, for God. Now, bear with me here for a second, because you might be sitting here going, well, I don't know, Stephen. Didn't you just say that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we're supposed to demolish strongholds? You bet. You bet. But what are you creating in their place? You get rid of the bad stronghold, but what are you replacing it with? And our minds, I would argue, are created for strongholds, but not for the enemy, for God. Well, prove it, Stephen. Well, okay. Have you ever heard the phrase, make up your mind? Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Come on. Make up your mind. As you're waiting, right? What are you going to get? All right. Make up your mind. Make up your mind, right? It's the difference between being resolute versus being obstinate. Do you know what that means, resolute? Who knows what resolute means? Anybody? Shoot. Resolute means I am focused on the prize. I am committed. I am steadfast. I am going for it. What's obstinate mean? Stubborn. Stubborn, you bet. So resolute would be persistent. Obstinate would be stubborn. Is there a difference? Yes. Is one better than the other? Yes, definitely. And I think I had this conversation with you, Marilyn. You were talking about Callie, how she's strong-willed. And she was talking about how that's a good thing. It can be a good thing, you bet, because Callie will learn stuff fast because she is committed to learning stuff, okay? She is resolute, but sometimes she's also stubborn, right? Right? Okay? And so it's what we got to do is we got to replace one stronghold with a different stronghold. Think about it like this, a firefighter, okay? What makes a firefighter charge into a burning house? Well, fire, definitely. But there's a stronghold in his mind that this is my duty, and he puts all of his emotion and his feelings into a box, and he just goes forward, okay? And he is operating from a stronghold. He's not operating from a stronghold of fear, which the enemy would create in my mind to try to keep me from going back. What he's operating from is he's operating from a stronghold of faith that this is what I've got to do. Think about Jesus going to the cross, yeah. Right? Think about Jesus going to the cross where he was committed. He wasn't faltering or wavering. He was totally focused on it. It writes about it like this in Isaiah chapter 50. This is verses 6 through 7. Now, this is Old Testament, but you're going to see Jesus in this passage, right? And I encourage you to see Jesus in this passage. I gave my back to those who strike. I gave my cheeks to those who pull out the beard, okay? I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting, but the Lord helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I like that phrase, set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. So what would allow Jesus to endure the cross? He was operating from different strongholds. He was operating from a stronghold of humility, okay? A stronghold of humility, of just, this is what I've been called to do, right? Paul would write about it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, just how he took on the role of a servant, even to the point of death on a cross. He's operating from a stronghold of humility. He's operating from a stronghold of identity. He knows exactly who he is. Look at that I just underlined here in verse 7. Therefore, I have not been disgraced, but he was being disgraced, right? Right? His face is being spit on, his beard's being ripped out, his back is being beaten. That's his experience. But he has such a stronghold of identity built up inside of him that he knows, even though his experience is disgrace, he is not being disgraced in that moment. Okay? He knows he's operating from a stronghold of love. Right? In that moment where he would feel like God is abandoning him, he knows that he is in this stronghold of the Father's love. Jesus was able to face the horrific event of the crucifixion because he was operating from fortresses of who he was. Fortresses of humility, identity, love, joy. Do you remember in Hebrews? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for joy set before him, endured the cross. And so when I'm talking about this idea of strongholds, it's this idea of tearing down the enemy's stronghold is only part of the process. That's half of the story, right? We demolish the enemy's strongholds, but what are we building in their place? And that's the challenge that I want to lay at you today. What are you creating in its place? Kirk and I were talking about expulsiveness one time. I can't remember what the title of that book was. And now you're going to maybe remember or maybe forget. I don't know.
Expulsive power.
Exactly, the expulsive power of grace. I asked my kids about it last night during family worship night. I said this, okay, so you get something in your eye. What's the best way to get it out? Well, Maddie's like this? Well, yes, that's one way to get it out, okay? But another way is to flush your eye, right? And so the idea here from Scripture is to flush out the stronghold by creating a new stronghold in its place. Not for evil, though, for good. Not from the enemy, but from God. Do you remember reading? Maybe you don't. I like reading 1 Kings a lot, okay? How many times did the Israelites beat the Philistines? A lot. And how many times did the Philistines keep coming back? A lot. A lot. Because what they would do is the Philistines would do these insurgencies where they would take over a small village. Then the big Israelite army would come, boot them out, but then the army would go back to Jerusalem. And then the insurgents would go, okay, are they gone? Okay, all right, here we go. We're going to take over this village again. And then the army would come in and boot them out. And then the Philistines would wait. Oh, they're gone. Okay, here we go, right? And that's what we do sometimes in our mind. We try to take this thought captive, and we try, and it's just this endless cycle of trying to take thoughts captive, but we've got to make sure that we are building something, creating something in its place, replacing a stronghold of bitterness. Think about it like this. If you struggle with bitterness in your life, replace that stronghold with blessing, right? I know I shouldn't be bitter towards that person, right? What are you doing in its place? Try blessing them instead. Right, praying a blessing over them, meditating and filling your mind with God's word. Okay, so create new strongholds in your mind based on God's truth and his promises. Okay, key application here. How do we do that though, Stephen? Well, how do you build a stronghold? How do you build a fortress? You stockpile resources and you shore up your defenses. Okay, what do you mean by that? Get into this right here. And start getting resources so that you can start to build a fortress of identity. And so now I'm going to be reading God's word and looking for passages that talk about my identity, who I am in Christ. Oh, I need a fortress of faith right now because I'm trying to get rid of fear in my life. Okay, well, what are you creating in its place? So now I'm going to look for passages that focus on faith. Oh, I need more love in my life. And so I've got to start shoring up my defenses. I'm going to stockpile resources. I'm going to start taking action. I'm going to be active in how my mind is renewed, okay? And it's this process that takes time, okay? But it's worth it. It's worth it. And so we want to stop, you know, we want to get out of this victim mindset. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Kirk? Well, you start operating from a victor's mindset, where you stop looking at the things that are wrong in your life and you start looking at the things that are right. And you start taking on a victorious mindset instead of trying to this woe is me thing and just getting that rooted out by creating a new stronghold in its place. I'm going to give you some homework this week, all right? That's what I'm going to leave you with today. Psalm 16, but I would encourage you to read this passage over yourself. This week, the whole passage. Psalm 16 is a great, great read. But David writes this in verses 7 through 8. He says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, also my heart instructs me. What is he implying here? That my heart has been filled with the knowledge and the truth of God to the point where my heart is starting to instruct me in night, at nighttime. I'm going to fill my life with the knowledge and truth of who God is and who he is for me. I have set the Lord always before me. I am focused on this, that who God is matters because who God is determines who I get to be, okay? And so because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And so I want to encourage you today. I hope I can encourage you today, especially after how I started. It just... One of the ways that you can get out of circle mode, spinning around mode, okay, is to start looking for integrity in your thought patterns. Start recognizing thoughts and imaginations that don't line up with the Word of God. And start to challenge those, start to remove those, but then replace them with more knowledge and truth in the Word of God. So Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the challenge from Scripture, Lord, and the promise from Scripture that not only am I called to break down strongholds that the enemy has tried to operate from within my mind, but Lord, that you've called me to build new strongholds, Lord, strongholds of faith, not fear, strongholds of hope, not doubt, strongholds of joy and not worry, strongholds of love and not hate. And Father, I pray that I would, and all of us, would get into this habit of uprooting these strongholds, these bad thought patterns, and replace them with thought patterns that were modeled by you. And so, Jesus, thank you for setting the example that you did of perfect integrity and perfect thought patterns. And Lord, I thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit that we can start to see those thought patterns come about in our lives as well. So I just pray a blessing over this body in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed, you guys. Have an awesome day.